I can't get out of it that quickly, so I do some a series on it, and this happens to be the case in 1 Corinthians. I just remembered something, Brother Victor. Is Wilma here today? She is in the baby room. Yeah, with Noah. We want to welcome Noah today in our service. For the first time, his first church service. Congratulations again on your family. I want to see him later on. I've just been waiting to see Noah. So God bless you. Love is patient, Paul says and writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is kind. And then it switches over. First, what love is, and then what love is not. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. And we will look at that. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Selfishness and rudeness is what Meryl Marco in the Wall Street Journal once called the renaissance of our time and society. The world knows how to be rude. Redeemed people know how to be rude. That it doesn't even have to be learned. Have you ever heard of a class will teach you how to be rude? No, you don't need that. Because it's human nature to be naturally tend towards being mean, being rude, being unlovely or unkind. But yet, the Bible tells us here that love has good manners. And maybe I should ask the question today, do we have good manners because we have love? So this is what Paul is saying here. As Christians, we are supposed to be witnesses of God's love. And we are to be witnesses in a courteous way. We're not supposed to be harsh and rude to people. Although sometimes we have to speak negatively about actions that people have, and people take that personal, I know. And it's almost impossible to never offend anyone because of our lifestyle, because of our beliefs in Jesus Christ, and also because of our belief that we should not do the sinful stuff. So some people may be offended by it, that we don't agree with them. But there is a right way and a wrong way to witness for Christ. And I remember someone when I was a much younger pastor, someone told me once, you can actually chase chickens away with food. You can take the seeds in your hand and just throw it at them and they will run away. But if you just put it there, put it out there, then they come running. So there's two ways of doing things, the rude way or the loving way. And Christians are called to love and speak the truth in love, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. So love is not rude. We can portray the Christian message in a way that it is not rude. It may be offensive in a sense to people because they hate the light. They love the darkness more than the light, and that battle will always be there. But if we, as witnesses for Christ, speak the truth in love, and that's why it's called apologetics. We are kind and we speak the truth in love. If you witness to somebody, if you do apologetics, it means you apologize for speaking the truth. Not really. But you just say, well, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry that you are wrong and I'm giving you the truth. It's kind of a paradox there, but that's what's called apologetics. A life of love is shown through our words and actions that is to impact others and bring others to the Lord. So we want to look at what is meant by when Paul says love is not rude. The other translations say love does not dishonor others or disrespect others. Have you ever met a person that is outright rude, even a much younger person that are disrespectful? See, when children are asked to honor their parents, that means that they are to love them, not rude to your parents. Children are really warned in the Old Testament never to curse their mother and father because there are serious consequences of that. Love is not rude. Rudeness is offensive. It's something that we say or do that offends others. And especially, I find it curious that when people are told maybe for the 10th time, don't do this, don't say this, change your manners, and they don't do that, then they become rude. And rudeness is unacceptable. Rudeness is the opposite of love. Love never offends, not purposely. Rudeness is displayed according to dictionary in many ways. It means to be bad-mannered, it means to be disrespectful, it means discourteous, insolent, impatient, offensive, or even the use of obscene gestures or language are all expressions of rudeness. And this is what people know when they are in the media, that if they use outrageous language, that they will finally be heard. And we had it last week. People will make racist comments or any comments whatsoever to get attention. And then for the next 24/7, that is on the news and their names is in the news. And that's exactly what they want. They want their rudeness to be displayed so they have a satisfaction that their rudeness is really something, that they're brave of being so rude. That's the world. But as believers, as Christians, we ought to have nothing to do with that because love is not rude. And for many people, it's easy to be heard, but not easy to live out. Our words matter and really mean something. And this is so true that when we speak the truth in love, even in our relationships, even as kids and young people, words mean something. And if you say a harsh word to somebody or a degrading word to somebody, it really hurts the other person. But love doesn't do that. You don't cut down another person's character. You don't attack someone's personality, someone's weakness in front of others. That is rude. And love doesn't do that. Love has nothing to do with that. You say, well, I just speak my mind. I just, that's just me. You know, I just speak my mind. It's not acceptable. It's rude. You do not attack someone's character or personality ever in front of anybody else, not even your husbands or your wives. And I've heard this with my own ears, how a husband was rude in front of others to his wife. And that hurt me. I was like, Lord, prevent me that I would never do that. That's so painful. I thought I wouldn't want to be him later on when they're alone, you know. I wouldn't want to be him, but maybe he's okay with it. Maybe he gets away with it. I don't know. But he shouldn't have gotten away with it. The gift of peace. And here's a very important point. The gift of peace is so precious that Jesus promised this, that we could have peace under stress. Let's listen to his words in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. How does the world give? They're rude. They're mean. But he says, I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Did you hear that? These are the words of Jesus. He doesn't bully us. He doesn't demean us. He doesn't put us down. He wants us to be built up by his peace that is beyond all understanding. So the gift of peace enables us to live the way Jesus calls us to live. And he says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. No one can pray for a person sincerely and with an honest heart and then go and be rude to them. You can't do that. It doesn't fit together. See, I'm praying for someone that may not like you or that you have a troubled time with helps you and me to be at peace and to love. Sometimes we may have to love people from a distance. But nevertheless, we will not be rude because love is not rude. The person who loves is always mindful of the feelings of others. Have you heard that? Mindful of the feelings of others. We don't go to people, well, you know, and the person says, do you hurt me with these words? Well, you shouldn't feel that way. You should know that I didn't mean it that way. That's not an apology. That doesn't help the situation. The meanness is not cured by more meanness. The meanness is cured by being sensitive to the other person's feelings. Love is not rude. We live in a culture that is becoming less refined and vulgarity is commonplace. You can hear vulgarity all the time. But when you observe how many people, when they get offended, when they get stress. Yesterday we saw, and this was actually the driver's fault, a lady was turning and she almost hit a biker. The bicycle and the bicycle, they had there right away, but she turned left and she almost hit him. What was his reaction? And that was so as a young man, right away the middle finger. That's always the answer. The middle finger, that's it. You know, that's rude, even though he was right. And the ladies totally missed him. Somehow she didn't see that he was there. But anyway, love is not rude. That is the description of Jesus. And this is Jesus' attitude. And we sang before, let us see Jesus and Jesus only. You know how rude people were to Jesus? You know that they actually spit in his face? Here is the Son of God, through which God has created the whole universe, through which he created all of mankind. And here, these rude, godless people spit in his face. And the Bible says that he was silent. As a lamb brought to the slaughter, he was silent. And then when he was crucified, what did he say? Lord, let him, Father, let him have it, right? No. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is our example. That is true love. To love is to live a serene life, a peaceful life that cannot be disturbed by circumstances. I know this is harder easier said than done. It's really hard to do sometimes. It is a life where we strive to stay calm, even under stressful situations. A life that demonstrates, just because I'm under stress, just because I'm under duress, I don't have to become rude. That is one lesson. The second lesson here today is our tendency to be selfish or self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. Selfishness is actually in all of us. We are more or less selfish. We're born that way. We want what we want. A little toddler, he has this rule. If it looks like mine, then it's mine, the toy. If I had it yesterday, it's mine. If I want to have it, it's mine. It doesn't matter what the real situation is. It's that selfishness that's built into us. Why? It's human nature. It's also a measure of protection. We want to protect ourselves. We want to protect our reputation. We want to make sure that me and myself, that we are the Trinity on the throne of our hearts. That's the human nature. But love is not self-seeking. See, self-seeking means that we clamor for attention. We have to be somehow in front of people. We want to pronounce things, and we want people to recognize us. We want people to say, oh yeah, look how wonderful. Oh, look how wonderful. How wonderful. We want people to give us attention. It's not always wrong to want some attention, especially if we want to witness for Christ and we have the desire that people would see Christ in us, right? But it has to be totally placed in God's hands, on his altar. Selfishness is so insidious that even when we do what is good, we can become self-centered. We can have self-centered reasons to do good. And this is what Jesus had to criticize to the Pharisees and those that gave. I mean, they went and they would give a huge amount of money, and then they would have this trumpeter in front of them. They would trumpet, and then their name would be called, and they would say, this person has given so much for the poor. And he said, it's wrong. That's drawing attention to yourself. It's not helping the cause. And he said, that's all the reward you will ever have. But sometimes, if we are doing things just for the recognition, it's not good. And then I read about the financial crisis that we had about 11 years ago in 2007, when economies almost collapsed because what was found out was this was a selfish way of and the financial institutions, the big, what we call the big shots, they had become so greedy that they had risked so much, and then it collapsed. Greed can really, really destroy a lot of things. And that's born out of selfishness. Now, this is what Jesus says about self-seeking. He warned us, and he said this in regards to the end times in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Watch out, he said, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. When it says all kinds of greed, it doesn't necessarily mean it's only for money. It's also greed for attention, greed for other things that people seek. Or even greed for power. When you observe certain politicians, they are so addicted to power. They can be 84 years old and they seek re-election, even shaking like this, and they want people to re-elect them, because they're so addicted to power. And then Jesus says, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And that's something that we learn, that love is not self-seeking. Love is not greedy. Selfishness blinds us to the real need that we have. We may want to satisfy our lives, our soul, with all kinds of pleasures, all kinds of possessions. If I could only possess this, if I could only have a brand new car, if I could only have a Lexus, if I could only have a BMW, if I could only have this house like the Joneses have or whoever has a big house, then my life would be complete. No, it wouldn't be. Because selfishness and greed tend towards filling our desires and our need for God in a different way than God intended it for. God wants us to give our lives to Him and to fully surrender everything to Him. When we experience our relationship with God, you know who He is. He is the God of love. He is the originator of all love. Our lives are changed and then start to reflect what love really is. God wants to lead us deeper. He wants us, you and me, to become more unselfish and more God-focused, more Christ-focused. And God wants you and me to pray, Lord, teach me to love like you did. Teach me to be like you are. Teach me your mind and your character. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if we are stingy, if we are always wanting everything for ourselves and collecting all treasures in this world, we will not be that blessed. But if we are generous, like Jesus says, and that comes out of true love, then Paul summarizes this beautifully, and he says the following, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Don't do anything, not in the church, not in any ministry, out of selfish ambition. If we do it, we shouldn't even be doing it then. Rather, in humility, value others, listen to this, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others, and your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. So always looking for the interest of others, not just what I want. But I want this so bad, and how can you not see that I want this so bad? No. What do others want? What do others need? What do I really need? God knows what I need, and He wants us to grow in that love. The last main thought here is love is not easily angered. Anger is actually a choice, like love is a choice. We say, well, I can't help it when I get out of control. Well, the same is with love. People that choose to love, and this is what I tell young married couples or those that are about to get married, choose love for the rest of your life. Because love is not only a feeling. Even though you may describe it as a feeling, and it's very euphoric, it's very beautiful, it's romantic if you feel love and all that, but love is a choice, and so is anger. To become angry when we feel we have been hurt, then the desire emerges to defend ourselves. We want to defend ourselves, and this is so built in, the same as with selfishness. We want to protect our reputation. We want to give it to others until we're even. It has to be all evened out. But that's not the love of God. The human anger does not what pleases the Lord. And this is why the Bible warns us that do not let the sun go down over your wrath or anger, because it's not good. You won't have a good night's sleep. No, it's not just that. You're destroying your soul with your anger. And a lot of people, they may not show that they're angry. They may, on the outside, they may look like they're the calmest people, but inside they may have an anger and anger issues that they don't know how to deal with. But it is possible to deal with that when you come to Christ, when you really come broken to the Lord, and you ask the Lord, Lord, change me. Take this anger away from me. Help me to realize that I don't have to defend myself all the time, because the Lord says he will defend us. Love is not easily angered. We live in societies today that are infected by the destructive power and effects of anger. We have violence, we have riots oftentimes that we observe that happen. People are angry. Does it help? Have riots ever created something good? Very seldom. In his first sermon that Jesus brought, he links anger, listen carefully, he links anger with murder. He said, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, this is Jesus himself saying this. So does Jesus say with that, you know, you better control your temper? No, he goes deeper. He says, think of the consequences, the destruction, the destructive effects of anger. And it doesn't have to be always a loud outburst. It can be a very silent anger that you carry for years and years and years. But in the end, it will destroy you. That's what Jesus says. Only the love of God can cure and heal all anger. All killings, be they drug-related or gang-related crimes, whatever happens, it always stems from the absence of love. But can you imagine what would happen if all of society would be filled with the love of God? If all people would finally see the light of God's love and would totally be changed and turn their passion that they had in a negative way now towards God, to his love, and receive his love? Oh, how that would change. How wonderful would that be? In his teachings, the Apostle Paul says, love is not easily angered. James, the brother of Jesus, says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Love is not easily angered. That doesn't mean that we can never get angry, right? There's still that possibility we may get angry. Because I think if we are incapable of becoming angry, you may be dead. So anyway, we have the capacity of becoming angry. But it's what we do with that anger, with that feeling. And maybe it is time that we ask ourselves, Lord, why am I easily angered? Why am I always ticked? You know, that's, you know, expression. Why am I always ticked by others? And why do other people irritate me so much? I've asked that many times. And just come to the Lord in all humility and say, Lord, I place my feelings into your hands. But you know, the Lord is so gracious. He is such a wonderful father. He's such a wonderful daddy, if you will. You can tell him all your feelings. You can tell the Lord how you feel about other people. You can tell the Lord and say, Lord, this person really bugs me, and please help me here. What should I do? Now, you don't ask God, should I use a knife or a gun? That's not it. You ask God, Lord, how should I approach this situation? How should I demonstrate your love to this person? And it may start with a very quiet prayer for that person. And then trust God to do the rest. Because the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So we cannot avenge ourselves. We cannot set the record straight. We cannot even out the playing fields. It's all up to God, because we want to be so focused on Jesus Christ, see him only, that we're so wrapped up in his love that we work in all our attitudes, in all our prayer life. It's all out of the love for Jesus. And may God bless us and help us. May God help me. The Apostle James goes on, slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Human anger never produces justice. Justice cannot be produced by violent outbursts of anger. It just doesn't work that way. It can only happen through and by the love of God. May God bless us. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.